Welcome to the Austin Peay Experience podcast, where we are highlighting why we are the premier university in the region. I'm your host today, Grayson Nicholson. We are at episode 2 of our second season called In Session, where we're looking at more of the interesting classes offered at Austin Peay. Today, we have Ebene Amos. She is the Assistant Professor of African American Studies in the Theater and Dance Department, and we are going to highlight her class on African American Expressive Culture. Can you give us a little bit of a brief description of what this class is about?
Sure. So in being brought into this role, I was really focused on teaching Black history through arts and culture. And so African American Expressive Culture is a class that really delves into the expressiveness of Black people through visual art, through performance art, so on and so forth. And so this class, since I've been teaching it, has had different iterations, but it all encompasses studying Black experience through the artist's lens.
Very cool. Can you give us a brief history of African American expressive culture and its roots in African culture traditions?
Yeah, so when we talk about when the enslaved Africans were brought here and the traditions that they brought with them, when we talk about African American expressive culture, we're looking at what has been retained from that time and how it has since morphed and evolved and kind of became its own thing that we study now. So when we think about the songs that we're saying on the plantations are now still being sang today, maybe in churches, or maybe that cadence you may hear in a hip hop song, or maybe that cadence you may hear in a blues song may be, you know, evolved into like more R&B. And so we're really thinking about retentions. What are those Black aesthetics that have been retained from the time the enslaved Africans got over here to the second generation of actual African Americans being born here in the country, and how they express themselves and how we still see those things show up today?
Awesome. What is your personal experience with African American expressive culture?
Yeah, so I'm a dancer. I'm an artist myself, primarily in dance, but I also sing and I act. I recently did some shows at the Roxy. I was Charlene in Freedom Train, or Charlene in Ain't Misbehavin', and I played Harriet Tubman in Freedom Train. And so this idea of expression through arts is very personal to me. And that's another reason why I really love teaching the class, because I have a lot of passion for expressing yourself through art and being able to have the room to do that. Traditionally, my parents, of course, want you to go and get like a real job, you know, be a nurse or do this or do that. And so you really don't need to learn or study dance. You don't need to study singing, because that comes naturally to you. And so being able to have my students actually study, you know, the ins and outs of it and get insightful views on it and critique it and engage with it is really exciting for me. And I wish I could have done that when I was growing up. So I really have a heart for all things performance and all things Blackness and kind of how they've merged. And I'm really, really lucky to be able to work this way here at Austin Peay. Like, there aren't a lot of universities that allow professors to be able to operate in more than one thing at a time. And they give me space to bring both of those things together. So it's really exciting, and I'm really grateful for that opportunity.
That's awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about the class structure?
Yeah, so traditionally, like the first time I taught the class, it was very much a historical overview. So I started with, again, like the slave songs, and then I went into blues and R&B tradition and the Harlem Renaissance. And like I went in kind of this very linear way of structure. And then I realized that that did not quite work for me. I wanted to do it my own way. So now I tend to focus the class on a certain theme, and in that theme I find engaging activities for them to do. So like the second time I taught it, we focused on representation and how Blackness is represented in visual and performing arts. And then I took my class to the Frist Museum to see Kara Walker's work, and she's a famous Black woman visual artist. So we took a trip to Nashville to the Frist, and then we ate like soul food afterwards, and we all had like a really wonderful time. And so this year I'm like packing on the activities, because again, it's enough to study it and talk about it, but it's another thing to actually do it, mm-hmm. right? And actually put yourself in the place in the space of actual art happening. And so this semester, we've already had like a West African dance class where an Austin Peay alumni, Nomi, she came from Nashville to give us this master class, and it was like 40 of us in the space, and my students have never done West African dance in their life, and they're hearing the drums and they're like getting the real experience. And like, you can't learn that from a test.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You can't learn that from a book. Like, you actually have to put yourself in it. Towards the end of the month, we are going to see American Sun, which is by a Black playwright. And then a couple weeks ago, I took them over to the New Gallery to see Carl E. Moore's work, which is The Revolution Will Be Televised, which is another Black male artist from Memphis. So again, like, Austin Peay has so many different ways to engage. Mm-hmm. We don't always have to go to Nashville. I'd much rather walk over across the street to the New Gallery,
yep,
or bring people into our space to share these experiences with our artists. But yeah, that's how the class is structured. It's a lot of lecture, it's a lot of discussion, but primarily it's engagement, because again, like, making art is so beautiful and people think it's so inaccessible unless you were like born to do it, but
yeah,
that's not it, right? Like, everyone has the rights, everyone has the opportunity, everyone should have the space to be able to express themselves creatively, even if it's just for one semester.
Is this class offered every semester?
So now it's every other semester.
Okay.
And it usually happens in the spring.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. How has African American expressive culture evolved and transformed over time?
Yeah, so that's such a big question. And we could talk about this all night, but really, it's evolved a lot. We're thinking about the introduction of technology, right? So think about how people expressed themselves before there were cellular devices, before there were computers, right? So we're thinking about just always having new ways and new modes of expression, and how we can take that and still have primarily the same type of message or experience, but just new ways to tell it, right? So even like this AI generated stuff that's happening now with like creating people that don't even exist, mm-hmm, you know, and it's just like, you're using your imagination to, I don't know, predict the future, if you will, or to create narratives and stories that aren't always put in the forefront. So I think from the inception of slavery until now, though we have those retentions, the call and response, the improvisation, the those kind of pillars that you find within multiple modes of Black art, there's still always gonna be a new generation finding new and innovative ways to magnify the expression. Also, more opportunities are being given to more artists to tell their individual stories. So we're not only focusing on this sort of canon where you have like the famous Black artists that you always talk about. Now I feel like with the inception of social media, we have a place where more people can lend their voices to the movement, more people can lend their work to public consumption through podcasts, through putting your music on SoundCloud, through, you know, putting your art on Instagram. There's always a way for more people to get their work out there. And I think that's also really exciting.
Yeah. Thank you for that. That was great. Can you discuss the role of music in African American expressive culture?
I mean, yeah, it's huge. Again, when you think about where things started and where they ended up, you can always trace it back to, you can trace gospel music back, you can trace jazz music back, you can trace rock and roll back, you know, mm-hmm, like you can always trace it back to the Africanist roots and traditional songs that were sang, the drumming, the innovation once the drums were taken away due to like slave laws and codes, like, music plays a huge part in the African American tradition. I just watched a documentary yesterday, the PBS documentary on the Black Church, and they were even saying how music kept or was the heartbeat and the driving heartbeat of the civil rights movement. This woman was saying, you know, when you see dogs, when you see the police spraying water hoses and you're scared, you start to sing. And if they didn't have those songs to lean into and to hang on to, they wouldn't have been able to persevere and get Black people their civil rights. So when we think about music, we're thinking about something that is embedded into the culture.
Like
something,
the backbone.
Yeah, it's the backbone. Like, there is no African-American expressive culture without music. And so it's not even like an and or, it's a, it is, it
right.
just is, right? And so that's really what I think about music and expressive culture and just the Black experience in general.
How has African-American expressive culture been used as a means of political activism throughout history?
So I just, wow, okay, that's a huge, perfect question. So I just referenced the civil rights movement, but you can also think about like the Black arts movement and this time where the Black is Beautiful mantra came out and Black people were focusing on being able to legitimize their way of making things. So we can talk about that. We can talk about, again, hip hop. Oh my gosh, hip hop in itself is a political movement in terms of creating music that comes from a culture that traditionally has been seen as inferior and being able to create this music so that people are feeling it in their bones, but also listening very intently and closely and almost, you know, getting rid of the lines that might have existed. The thing that you thought you knew about it, you're gonna know, or those assumptions may be debunked because now you have music. And so being able to enter in with music and come out differently, seeing people differently is like huge. And it's really important and it's really smart also. There are a lot of things that your parents might have told you that you were like, whatever, but when your favorite artist says it in a song, you're like, yo, he's spitting.
I think I believe that
he's now. He's spitting. No, he's not spitting. Your mama just said that to you. But because your favorite artist maybe put it in a rap or you're singing it now, it just hits different, right? So I think in talking about music and politics and all that, like, art just hits different.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing a painting is so much different than, like, it is protest in itself. It's not just walking the streets. It's not just holding the signs. It's not just the picket lines. Art can be protest as well. And it just is another way for people to engage and enter in that I think is vital and very important.
I mean, people memorize song lyrics easier than they can recite their ABCs.
Absolutely. And so if you're memorizing something, again, that is debunking an assumption you might have had, hopefully that memorization is like sitting into you and helping you to see things differently. So yeah, I think it's vital, and I think it's, again, genius what artists are able to do with their work that the common person is not able to tap into mm-hmm. the same thing.
Can you speak to the influence and impact of African American expressive culture on American culture as a whole?
Yeah, so for sure. When you think about your favorite artist, I always often invite people to think about their influences, right? So when you think about Elvis, are you thinking about also Chuck Berry? You know, like, mm-hmm. let's think about your favorite artist and then let's think about who they sound like and where those references have come from. And let's like go back to the root of the thing and see like who was the origin or the inception of it. So I think it is the root. Right. Mm-hmm. There is no influence. It is it. And everyone else has then been influenced from that. And I think if we were more open to acknowledging, again, not just the person who's pushed out into the front, but the people that are behind the scenes, the people who we don't get to see in the forefront and how they have influenced those people. I think the more educated we become on that, the more appreciation we can have for Black music and African-American expressive culture in general.
I think with the Elvis movie coming out, so many people realized his backstory and how he got started with this and who he started with
mm-hmm.
and who influenced him and the songs he covered that people thought he wrote
exactly.
that he didn't.
Exactly.
So that's just another way that, like, right now that mm-hmm. all of this is coming out. Something that happened
so many years.
So long ago mm-hmm. that it's now coming out.
Been told. And
yes.
I'm from Memphis, so I should know all about Elvis. I don't. I mean, I know what everyone else knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know really anything until other movies came out,
yep.
like Cadillac Records and things of that nature, where we're seeing, again, these untold stories. And so I appreciate movies like that for getting down to like the nitty gritty mm-hmm. of it all and like saying the names of those who we don't hear very often and like giving them their honor and like in essence giving them their flowers.
And in turning entertaining way.
In a very entertaining and engaging way, yeah. absolutely. In art.
Mm-hmm. So. How are today's young people keeping African American expressive culture alive?
Oh my gosh.
Or how can they too
yeah,
in the future?
No, I mean, I can't tell them. Like they're doing it. Again, like with the SoundCloud and with and social media and like with the humor and with the jokes and like all of it is art. And so I think this idea of unapologeticness that is coming forth from the younger generation, and I'm not that old, but I'm not them either. I think it's so vital and so important and like really inspiring this idea of I'm gonna wear my nails, I'm gonna wear my hair how I want to, I'm going to express myself to the umpteenth degree, and I really do not care who has anything to say about it. Like, time's out for this idea of having to morph and change yourself into something in order to gain success. Now we're seeing people lean into exactly who they are and exactly how they want to express themselves and still be rewarded for it. And so that is bold, and that's the energy that I still have to adopt for myself, though I'm unlearning a lot of mm-hmm. things so that I can be able to do that. I think this generation, the young people, my students, are like so bold, and it's like, okay, like I think we're kind of gonna be okay.
Yeah.
You know, like I think we're gonna be okay. Like it's so inspiring, man, to just like you literally don't care. Like, so then why do I, you know?
Very but, unapologetically you know, themselves.
Very themselves. Like the expression is huge. It's stuff that I could have never seen for myself. And I'm hoping like even those who are older kind of take a little bit of, that's their wisdom, right? We think because we're older, we're supposed to know it all. But I hope that we can actually make room as older people to learn from that
mm-hmm.
and tap into their expression and that wisdom that they have and adopt that for ourselves, because in expression comes freedom. No one wants to not be themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? No one should have to not be themselves. So I hope that we all take this idea of freedom of expression and like live it fully to the max. So yeah, I can't tell them anything. They're telling me, they're teaching me. I just applaud them for it.
I love that. What is kind of the response that you're getting from your students throughout this class?
Oh gosh. I mean, we have really great discussions. In African American history in general, we know that a lot of it is not taught K-12. So a lot of them, their eyes are opening. They're excited about learning things that they never were taught or never got to tap into. Excuse me, they're telling their friends about it. They're inviting their friends to events. In the African class yesterday, again, like none of them imagined that they would even be close to moving the way they were.
Mm-hmm.
So I also think there's a level of confidence that we're instilling, like this idea of being unstoppable, this idea of being capable, this idea of not being afraid to try new things is, I think, kind of should be our motto in college. Like, just do it. Do these things that may have seemed scary before. Do those things that you never thought you had the opportunity to do. Like, do them. And so even in that, I think they're really appreciative of it. And I also think more than anything that it's very affirming. Things that they knew existed, things that they have experience with, things that they've seen, now they have names for it. Now they have theories to support it. Now they have definitions, and now they have actual articles and books that are written to study those things that they experience every day that they had no idea how to contextualize. They're able to now tap into it and hear authors and writers also tap into it. So it's like, no, I'm not crazy. Like, that's actually a thing. And now I know the name for it. And when it happens again, I can repeat it and know it and teach someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they've been really excited to just try new things and be exposed to new things and tap into their creative sides too. I have projects where they have to write a script. I've had projects where they have to do a collage. They have to you know, work with their hands. They have to dance. So I think they're also really excited about working the creative side of the brain that's not always tapped into due to fear. Like, oh, it's going to be ugly. You know, like, what is ugly?
And this class is way more than just listening to you lecture twice a week for an hour and a half.
They do most of the talking, honestly, and I have to like reel them back in, right? They definitely lead discussion. They put their own thoughts out there. So that's another thing. Like, they're becoming confident in how they interpret the text, how they feel about it, their opinions. They're getting a space to be critical. And that's the biggest thing I need them to know is that, you know, critique. Please, like, question everything, learn everything, and just continue to grow in all of that. So I think they've, I mean, you may want to ask them, but I personally think they're having a great time.
I'm sure they are.
Even if they aren't, I am, so, you know. But yeah, I think we're all having a really good time learning and growing and being creative.
Awesome. What would you say to someone who was contemplating taking this class?
Just please take this class. It's open to everyone. It's always offered in the spring. We do a lot of, again, really engaging activities. We have a lot of open and honest discussions. And I think it's a good precursor into African-American studies because a lot of what we talk about in the discipline can be very hard to talk about based on, you know, what Black people have been through. But again, when you're doing it through music, when you're doing it through art, it, I don't want to say it softens the blow, but it just offers a different entry point, which is sometimes easier to talk about than just, you know, talking about the really harsh realities just straight out, you know, straightforwardly. So I think it's a great class to take. You'll have a lot of fun. You'll meet a lot of people and you'll do a lot of things. So, and everything has been all expense paid. Like, they haven't paid for anything. I write grants. And
that's
awesome. Ask people, you know, can you sponsor this? Like, how can I get this paid for so that money doesn't have to be a barrier because they're college kids, right? You know, so I always make sure that money isn't a reason why you can't attend this really enlightening experience, right? Which is why I love walking over to the new gallery. It's free. I'm going to the theater and dance department. The tickets are $5 for students. And I told them, even if you can't afford that, I can. $5, you know? Or I give them time in advance and I'm like, can you put away $1 a week so that you're able to afford this $5 ticket? You know what I mean? So everything that we do is either very, very low cost, but most of the time I'm writing grants and I'm asking people, would you help me offer this experience to these students who might not have the funds to do it?
And it ranges from freshmen to seniors?
Freshmen to seniors. I have seniors now who are about to graduate, and I have freshmen who are brand spanking new. So whoever it is, whatever, I have non-traditional students also who are coming back to school. So whoever it is, there's always going to be something offered for someone in that class.
That's awesome. I don't ever necessarily remember having a class that ranged for everybody.
Yeah, so. It's definitely open, especially since AST is a minor. We do get a lot of classes that have, unless it's an upper division, and this one is not, that has a very wide range of ages and classifications.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ebony. Do you have anything else to add?
No, happy Black History Month.
Yes, happy Black History Month. That's kind of why we wanted to highlight this podcast. Mm-hmm. We were looking for a great class and this seemed to be the best one. And thank you so much for coming today. We're so excited to have this podcast.
I had a great time. I appreciate you guys listening to me.
Absolutely.
And making space for us to be able to talk about this class.
You're great. Thank you.
Thank you.